Good morning, everybody. You know, I don't know how the, I don't know how all the songs and everything are going to be, how they're going to go this morning exactly, but I do know this, that if you're so moved this morning, whether by, hopefully by just simply getting so close, so close to the Father this morning, that sitting in the chair is just not enough for you. If you feel like you need to have more room to worship God, there are aisles here. Step out. As you can see and look around you, this is a big room. So don't let the size of the pew that you're sitting in any way inhibit your worship there, okay? And the other thing I'd say is that these are songs that I don't know that well either yet, but as you see the lyrics, and if you don't know the melody to it, just make one up. Just do the best you can. And if a lyric really touches your heart and causes you to raise your eyes and your hands up, go ahead.
Sound of your people as we worship and bow at your feet, as we worship and bow at your feet. Let our voices be raised even higher, resolve not to hold back one thing. Let us empty ourselves of our burdens, Lord, give all that we are to our King. And give all that we are to our King. For you, oh Lord, you're so good, always ready to forgive. You're a God full of mercy, compassion, and grace. And for you alone we live. For you, oh Lord,
that was one of the songs that that Dick and Lynn, they were singing, and they go, we need to go to the hospital, we need to sing that to Consuelo. So isn't that cool? It's just, our God is so awesome. And I love all sorts of kind of music. As you heard, I was rocking out praising the Lord to Delirious, but I also love hymns. I have a partialness to hymns. I don't know why, I just have always loved hymns. And so I love it with the Holy Ministry. I'm able to do that. We go to care homes. And then while they're changing outfits, I'll sing hymns. And many times I hear how the people, most of them elderly, are blessed by it because a lot of them were raised on that. But like I said, you know, as long as it's praise to God, whatever kind of music you enjoy, do that for the Lord. Praise Him and worship Him. Whether you're playing it, whether you're singing it, whether you're listening to it, praise and worship the Lord throughout the day. I'm going to go into the message, if you don't mind. I was praying and praying, and God, you know, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want us to grow and learn in you and be encouraged about? And I felt the Lord was saying time with God. So I want to read Psalm 111 to you. It says, praise the Lord. I will praise and give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart and in the council of the upright and in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in Him. Glorious and majestic are His deeds. His works and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious, merciful, and full of loving compassion. He has given food and provision to those who reverently and worshipfully fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has declared and shown to His people the power of His works. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His decrees and precepts are sure. They are fixed, established, and trustworthy. They stand fast and are established forever and ever and are done in absolute truth, faithfulness, and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant to be forever. Holy is His name, inspiring awe, reverence, and godly fear. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and skill. All who follow His precepts, who do the will of the Lord, have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. This is our God. And I kind of mixed Amplified and NIV together on that. So it's a little bit of both. So I like the way the Amplified, and I like the way, I'm sorry, okay. So I did them both. But I just praise our Lord God, and I thank Him and praise Him for who He is and what He is doing in our life. And I lost a paper that, what a bummer. Oh, Debbie, remember that paper I was showing you? Okay, sorry, guys. So, our God, I'll just go kind of like, okay. It's the paper that, what did I do with it? It's the paper that says God first. Okay, sorry. There it is. Okay, here we go. So, it says, because I was like, one day I came up with this a few months ago. Remember we were in the God Chasers, and actually, I think it was even before the God Chasers, and now I was just sitting there kind of playing with, you know, God first, okay. And one time I put, like, God only, deliberately. But then, for this message, I kind of thought, no, I'm going to change it. And I put God first. You know, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, remember the Ten Commandments, and God's telling us, you know what, I don't want you to have any other gods before me. I want to be number one in your life. Numero uno. And our God wants to be just super important in our life. So I was thinking of that, God first, and I was like, okay, giving oneself daily. Foremost, if you look up in the dictionary foremost, it's saying first in place or time, first in rank or importance, leading, before all else, first. And the synonym is chief. We want Him to be our chief. We want Him to be the head of our lives and the most important, leading us and guiding us. And I didn't know if foremost lead, but that's why I put that in parentheses. But we want to just continually, giving oneself daily, foremost, intimately, totally just being intimate with Him, totally just, I mean, He knows our hearts, He knows everything, being honest with Him, and wanting that closeness. And in that closeness, it takes time, reverently, constantly revering in awe of who he truly is. You are here because of him. He created you in his image, and he has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And he's full of love, and he has promises for us, and he is there with us. So we are reverently in awe of him each and every day. Sincerely, heartfelt, totally loving him and totally meaning it. And thoughtfully, he is in our thoughts constantly, continually. This is what he wants to be in our lives each and every day. I love it that he created us. He created us each with different gifts and talents. And some of us, you know, I don't know about you, but I used to get frustrated with my personality. You know, as I've said before, my sister was more like this, and I was like this. But my mom used to say, whoa, I just got the water bottle. But my mom used to say, she goes, Karen, one thing about you, she goes, when you see a butterfly, you go, oh, look at that butterfly, they're so pretty, it's just flying around and fluttering, look at all the colors in the butterfly, and woo! And she goes, the only unfortunate thing is, when you're down, you're down. And Paul can attest to that. And, but I just, you know, I used to go, Lord, can I please be like my sister? Can I please be like my sister? And he was saying, no. And then eventually, I started thanking him for who I was and my personality. I used to get in trouble all the time for my loud voice. I didn't need a microphone. And I was just, you know, my sister doesn't have as loud a voice as me. My joy is expressed differently than my sister's joy. But it's still a joy to the Lord. So we need to stop looking at others and say, oh, wait a minute, you know? And you're wanting to spend time with God, but your time with God, how you place God first in your life, may not show the same way in your life as it is to somebody else. And we need to remember that. But just continue to give yourself how God wants you to give yourself to him daily, foremost, intimately, reverently, sincerely, and thoughtfully. How do we do this? Well, time with God. Why spend time with God? Why? Okay, I'm here. People do it all the time without him. Why? In 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. There's other verses too, but I'm picking, you know, this. And God showed how much he loved us by sending his son into the world so that we might live through him. And in John 10:10, how do we live? Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Amplified says that they may have it and enjoy their life. The New King James Version says, and that they may have it more abundantly. And when, remember, I don't know if you remember, I did a Greek, you know, I love going to the concordance and look up the original Greek and Hebrew. And it really means more abundantly. I mean, in other words, to overflowing, to the full. And we can. In John, first chapter of John, it says that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it says how he became the flesh here on earth. But we also remember, as our Bible verse for the force for denomination says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is living. It is breathing. I was sharing with Lola the other day when we were at the hospital about when I first became a Christian. I used to go to church and stuff, and I hadn't trusted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I knew about him, memorized scriptures and stuff, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. When I did, and I started reading the Word, I was like, wow, this is like so cool. It's like so alive. And it was. It was alive. And how many times have you read the Word of God and God has spoken to you directly? Jackie has a testimony, our pastor's wife, how she was at a service and the service didn't have anything to do with what God spoke to her. But he spoke a scripture. She knew she was to go with Pastor Johnny and Mindy to Hayward, California and help. It was a scripture, and I've done that. Have you? Have you ever been searching for an answer for God? You're in the Word, you're like, whoa. One time there was stuff going on at work. I so wanted to quit. And then my husband's like, yeah, quit. And I go, you heard from God? Really? Really? I can quit? And he's going, no, I haven't. And I go, okay, let's pray. And I was reading the Word, and I said, Lord, speak to me. Just speak to me. Oh, the devotion had nothing to do with saying, Karen, you're not to quit your job. No, it didn't say that, but it did in the Holy Spirit interpreting it to me. And it was Jesus telling his disciples, go and do what you need to do. And you continue to do it until I tell you to do something different. Basically, that's Karen paraphrase. But it was like, in other words, when I told my husband to look at it, he goes, yeah, you can't quit yet. And I was like, oh, Lord. And it was hard. People were saying false things about me, and it was just really hard. I had to learn to honor an honorable boss. 2 years I went through that, and God did not release me. And then eventually there came a situation where a stand had to be made, and God released me from that position. But it was his timing. Actually, he had spoke to me a year before that I was not going to be there any longer. I didn't know how it was going to come about, but then I saw. But in other words, God, I've heard of God speaking to you by a truck driving by, and you see something on the truck, you know? And it's like, oh, wow, God, you spoke to me. God speaks to you sometimes from a friend. It doesn't always have to be an inner voice or an audible voice. As the Apostle Paul, we saw that it was audibly. Jesus came. We have other experiences where people say that Jesus came and visited them and has talked to them, or angels. But God is there. Are you listening? We need to actually have eyes and ears and hearts ready and willing to have God number one in our lives and want to have that time with him. But it's not just time spent alone praying. Yes, we need to always worship him. There's power in worship. There's power in praise. And we have to have thankful hearts. Yes, we want to confess, truly confess, heartfelt, totally, I am sorry, Lord. I repent and turn around. And then we want to always read and listen to his word daily, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's increasing. It is food. Whether you understand it or not, it is food, and it's feeding your soul. It is alive. We constantly want to pray. But in other words, my point is, yes, it is good to have that time alone with God. But in other words, God wants to be in our time each and every day. He created the time. Every single moment, every single second of every day and night, it belongs to God. He knew exactly, as Psalm 139 says, exactly when you were going to be born. He knew exactly how and when that last breath was going to be taken here on earth. And we can choose to either continually, thoughtfully having him in our lives daily, constantly talking to him. And that is communicating with him. Time with him is basically saying a praise. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly talking to God. And whether you're you know, amen, dude, God, you know, I love you. Or like God, I mean, in other words, however you talk, Chad, man, you know, hey, God, man, that's cool, man. You know, however you talk, you guys talk to God. You know, Lynn, I always talk about Lynn. I love the way she prays. It's like so beautiful. God has gifted her with such a gift and a talent. And she, when she prays, it's like, oh, I just want her to take her everywhere and pray. And you guys heard the way I pray. It's like so cool, like way cool, God. You know, I mean, we all know, you know, Dick the other day was saying, Karen terminology, super cool. You know, I mean, you know, that's, I don't know why I have that, but God is just too cool. He's so cool. He's way cool. He's ultimately cool. He is the coolest God ever. And that's the way that I describe God. I mean, he's awesome. He's wonderful. But you talk to God just daily. Just talk to him. Just, you know, as if you're talking to somebody else, a friend. Not, you know, he wants to be our friend. Through Jesus, we can go directly to the throne of God. And he hears us. But you need Jesus. You need, first of all, to have that repentant heart. Another reason, okay, why to spending time with God is because we have an enemy, the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. In John chapter 10:10, it says, the thief, meaning Satan, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So, I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I was a single mom, my kids were very young, and it was really hard. I was going through a rough time, and at that time I was suffering also from panic anxiety disorder, and just struggling. And I was just daily just seeking God, and I learned to put on the armor of God. So daily I would take my Bible, and then I was going through the NIV, I would take it daily and I would pray it. Finally, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Lord God, I claim this mighty armor of God, and I just claim it in me, and I claim it on me, and I claim it because I want to be strong for my children, and I want to be strong for you, Lord God. So I claim this. I claim Ephesians 10 through 20. I am putting on the full armor of God so that I can take my stand against the devil's schemes. For my struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, I put on the full armor of God that you have given me, Lord God, so that when the day of evil comes, when these stuff that I'm dealing with comes, I will be able to stand my ground in the name and the authority that I've been given through Jesus Christ and his blood that is shed for me. And after you have done everything, I am standing, everything. I am standing firm on the word of God. I am standing firm in my faith, and my faith just has to be that of the size of a mustard seed, because I'm standing in faith and the faith of my God. Stand firm then, Karen Marie. I am standing firm now. And I am, in the belt of truth, okay? Buckled around my waist. In other words, you're girded up. You're strengthened by the belt of truth, which is the word of God. And with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And with my feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I am ready to serve and walk in the authority that Jesus has given me. I am ready to do what God tells me to do. I am ready to go back and repent when I've blown it. And receive that power of forgiveness that he's given me. In addition to all of this, I take up the shield of faith, with which I can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I take up the helmet of salvation, and it protects my mind, because Satan wants to put in those thoughts all the time. We need to have that helmet of salvation protected. He wants us not to be strong Christians, bringing glory and honor to God. And then I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And another scripture, it says it is a two-edged sword. And I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, I need to be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Because there's other Christians just like you and I around the world that are going through similar things that you're going through. We need to support each other. Have you ever been driving along or doing the dishes or playing a baseball game or whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden a thought comes to you of somebody? Lift them up in prayer. There's a reason why God sometimes will wake you up in the middle of the night, or you're driving along or you're doing the bills, and all of a sudden somebody comes to your mind and you're praying. Not only, yes, you have stuff that you're going, Lord, how am I going to pay these bills? But God brings somebody else into your mind and you're going, okay, I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to lift them up in prayer. We need to constantly have that. And then also, I continue on and I say, you know, Lord, whenever I open my mouth, Lord, help me to have words that are given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of gospel. I will be an awesome ambassador and witness for you. I will be living and acting out pleasing to you. And when I blow it, Lord, I want to come to them and ask them to forgive me. I want to come to you and ask you to forgive me. And I pray that I will declare whatever I do fearlessly. There's power in this. King David was one. He was known as a man after God's own heart, right? Acts 13:22 and 1 Samuel talks about that. But he was also a man that was quick to repent. We all know that he wasn't perfect, but once it was brought out to his attention, he was quick to repent and then go back to God. I am so sorry. And God strengthened him and forgave him. So time with God, as I was saying earlier, is spending time with him is also refreshing. I love what God, I was asking him and he gave me two words. And so I looked him up in the dictionary and I go, wow, God, this is like way cool. Okay, another way cool Karen, you know, moment. So, but in the Webster's dictionary it says, to make fresh by cooling, wetting, etc. To make another or oneself feel cooler, feel stronger, feel more energetic. To replenish as by new supplies. We need that renewing. We need to be replenished, to be revived and stimulated. Oh, I like that one, the memory. Oh, yeah. Lord God, I know I have the mind of Christ. There's that, you know. please stimulate my memory. I don't know about you guys, sometimes I could love to have my memories stimulated and revived. To become fresh again and revived, to take refreshment as food or drink, to lay in fresh supplies. This is our God, because in John chapter 6, verse 48, it says, I am the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. John 7, 37 to 39, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And this he meant by the Spirit, whom those who have believed in him will later receive. When you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in there. You also have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it also warns us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to not quench the Holy Spirit, to not suppress or subdue it. So if we have, that's why it's like constantly trying to have fess up to God, you know, like, Lord God, okay, do a cleaning check, okay, you know, is there anything I just did, you know, said, and or didn't say that I should have said, or done that I shouldn't have done, or did that I shouldn't have done, or acted how I shouldn't have acted, or reacted or responded how I shouldn't have reacted or responded, you know, just continually asking God to do like a soul check, and just saying, Lord, you know, okay, is there anything I need to confess? Because I want to live my life pleasing to you. I want to preach the gospel always, and then when I use the words, it is bringing glory and honor to you. And when I blow it, please show me. We all have blind spots. I've blown it many a times. Paul will be more than happy to tell you how I've blown it. And, you know, but we all have blown it, okay? And so don't get down on yourself, because for a long time I had a hard time forgiving myself. And you need to also, you know, I can forgive others easily, but if you have that problem, remember to forgive yourself too. God, that's what Jesus said. He came to give you life more abundantly, to enjoy it. So don't be down in guilt. That's Satan trying to keep you from being strong and effective for the Lord. So you just keep on going. Okay, Lord, thank you and praise you that I am forgiven. Thank you, Lord God. If there's, how can I correct this? How do you want me to do that? Do I need to go and say I'm sorry to a person? Do I need to get a card? Do I need to do something? You know, just continue to seek God by spending time, that continual prayer with him, and he will guide and direct you. John 14, 26. I love the Amplified version of John 14, 26, where it says, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall. I love this one. He will cause you to recall. Remember. Yeah. He will cause you to recall and remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Is that awesome or what? John 14, I think it's John 14, 12, where Jesus said, you'll do even greater things than I do. Because I'm going to bring glory to the Father. I hear every prayer you ask me in my name. You're going to bring glory to the Father. It will happen in my name because I want to bring glory to the Father. It says that, remember the faith of a mustard seed, Matthew 25:17, I think it is, or 27, I can't remember. But it says the faith of a mustard seed. And then Mark 11:24, I think it is, it says, have faith in God or have the faith of God. So I take that little mustard seed. I say, Lord, sometimes, you know, I like Mark 9:24, that father says, okay, I know you can heal, I know you do miracles, I knew this, but I'm struggling, so help my unbelief, help my doubt. And so I take that little faith, Lord, I thank you and praise you, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I put it on whatever I'm praying about and say, Lord, I know that you are the God of miracles and I want to bring glory and honor to you. So I am releasing this into your hands. Show me if there's anything I need to do. Show me if there's anything I need to say. After that, it's in your hands because I want to be your instrument. I want to be used by you to do and obey you, but Lord, I need you. I need your help. And that is awesome to know the Holy Spirit is always with us, but don't quench him. Remember how unforgiveness in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, where it says, you know, our Father, and then forgive them, and then I'll forgive them. But then it goes on to say, because I'll forgive you as you forgive others. So remember that you're constantly just, and sometimes it takes a while to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. And that's what I love about this Amish movie. This one mother was saying, I'm choosing to forgive the man that killed my two daughters. I'm choosing to. It's not easy. Every hour I wake up and my daughters aren't there. I choose to forgive him. The next hour I'm hanging up the laundry and their clothes aren't there. I choose to forgive him. And she kept choosing to forgive until God finally brings a healing process. But that allows him to come in and minister to you and strengthen you and heal you. And spending time with God, in Luke 4:1, it says, then Jesus, full of and controlled of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. He was filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our perfect example. So he's showing us how to live, and he was obedient. Now, he was being led by the Holy Spirit to go in for 40 days of tremendous trial and testing. But he chose to be obedient to his Father. He was led and controlled by the Holy Spirit and led by that leading. When he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit came onto him, you know, like we know, like a dove, and it lighted on him and it empowered him to then go on to do the ministry that God had for him to do. In Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 39, you may say, well, my day's just too busy. I'm just too tired. I'm just too busy to just spend time with God. No. Okay, Jesus once again, perfect example. In Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 39, so we see him. It's a day at Capernaum. And the first, verse 21, 22, Jesus goes to church. He goes to synagogue. So he's teaching. Okay. Then he heals and delivers a man that is tortured by an evil spirit there. Okay. Then in verses 28 through 31, then he goes to Simon and Andrew's home, and Simon's mother-in-law, she's very ill. She's got a fever, dead, you know, not dead, but on the bed, you know. And so Jesus comes to her, takes her hand, lifts her up. She's healed. Instantly, she starts waiting on them. That's a pretty busy day. Oh, it doesn't stop there. And then in the evening, all the town's hearing about this, right? How Jesus is healed and empowered and teaching with authority. And so they come and they bring all the sick people and demon-possessed people, and Jesus is busy. Healing and delivering. Guess what? After that long, busy day, what does he do? Gets up very early, it says in verse 35, the very next day, to have alone time with God. So he's constantly, continually talking to God, being led by the Holy Spirit throughout the day. But he knows there's a precious time of getting alone with God and talking to his Heavenly Father. And then the guys are coming to him, Simon and his companions. They go to him and say, hey. And she says, you know what? No, we're not going to do any more here. Because you know what? God has me to go to other villages to preach and heal and deliver people. This is why God had me come. And I need to go about and do what God told me to do. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us, but we need to be obedient to God. And he constantly did that. There, I've told the women this before, but I've read an autobiography one time on Susanna Wesley. She had 19 children. 9 really survived. But and we all know John and Charles Wesley, you know. Charles writing a lot of the hymns, and John Wesley helping with the Methodist. And he was a preacher, into 87 years old. But she would take time, and she would just, in the kitchen, put her apron over her head. And the kids knew that that was her time with God. That was her specific time with God. We see Daniel, and he took 3 times a day, even when it could mean death to him. He did not do this because of the fact that he knew he was honoring God. This is what God wanted him to do, and he had that special anointment and power. So we have lots of different examples of people. And it's so funny, when you read of people, mighty men and women of God, whether in the Bible or nowadays, and they're busy, they spend lots of time, more time with God. Amazing. 2 hours, I remember one time, a guy, George Mueller, who was a man in England, and he had orphanages, and he just prayed for what the provision, what they needed. And then God had him, you know, do the second orphanage. So he just spent, and the day would have lots of activity. He'd get up even earlier and pray longer, because he knew that there was power in prayer. So we have like lots of examples. But remember, as Philippians 4:4 through 9 and 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, you know, like, in other words, have a thankful heart. You know, Philippians 4:4 through 9, it says, you know, constantly pray, constantly, but be thankful. And look to God, watching what you're thinking about, you know, praising him and thanking him, knowing that your source is him, knowing that he is all powerful. We don't want to look at what we see because there's a spiritual realm going around us. And as we lift up praise and honor to him, and as we're looking to him, turning our eyes to him, not what we see, because that also releases the power of God, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to work. We're not quenching him anymore. And therefore also, we are releasing the power of the angels. We are releasing the power and the blood of Jesus. He wants us to live our lives victoriously, abundantly, enjoying it for his purposes, for his glory. He knows that we're going to go through pain. He knows we're going to go through sorrow. He knows that we're going to sometimes be hurt. But he wants us to bring that to him too, and it will help us through that. Enlightening. Spending time with God is enlightening. To give the light of fact and knowledge to, reveal truth to, free from ignorance, prejudices, and superstition. It is the absolute positive truth. To give clarification to a person as to meanings and intentions. To light up. It's really helping you and guiding you, revealing what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. If you see a window and it has stickers on it and you're not supposed to walk through it, don't walk through it.
No, I'm teasing. I said I was going to say it.
But no, there's a last week we were talking about Larry and Darla was saying, she goes, he complimented her outfit and she had a nice blouse on and I said, and he goes, it looks like a tablecloth. And I said, your husband said that? And she goes, yeah. And I went over and I said, honestly, but we were just teasing. But haven't you ever, though, needed a guidance? Like you felt like, no, you should say this, or no, you shouldn't say this, you know? That he will reveal the truth. He will guide you. He will give clarity on what you should do, what you shouldn't do. This is our awesome, amazing God. But we need to spend time with him. We need to have him in our time, each and every moment of each and every day. He wants us not only to have spend time with him alone, it's a precious time, but throughout the day. He wants to be in your lives. He wants to give you clarity. He wants you. Sometimes it takes a while to get that. But don't give up. You know, Bob the Builder, do you remember, any of you guys remember Bob the Builder? Yeah. I mean, Randy, when he leads us in worship, he does the VeggieTales sometimes. But, you know, I loved when I used to babysit for Pastor Johnny and Mindy, and Daniel used to love Bob the Builder. And he goes, he can do it. Yes, he can. Well, you know what? We can do it. Yes, we can. In the name and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is who we have. So, people, this is the Word of God. It is living and breathing. When it breathes into you, you are reading it, it will come out. Have you ever had garlic? And my husband used to love to eat raw garlic. And I said, oh, honey, you got to go for pills. Because when it comes out, it's just, if you want me to be near you, you know. But it just came out that way. Well, you know, what we let in is going to come out. So we need to make sure that we are breathing in the Word of God. And believe it or not, it will come out. I was hearing a testimony of a gentleman who had the gift of seer, and he was able to see into the spiritual realm with discernment. And he said, when God first gave to him, he saw everything. And then God started teaching him. He said, okay, now I want to start teaching you because I've shown you what you can see. But in that, of course, he saw demons on buildings and on people. But he said he could tell who were Christians because a light was emanating. But he also saw some Christians with a dark cloud. You need to push that cloud away by claiming the power of the Lord God. You need to breathe in and breathe out. And when sometimes some yucky stuff comes out with the breathing out, repent, say I'm sorry, and God, watch out, because God, that's what's awesome, is God in Romans 8:28, and I love that one, where it says, all things work together for good. To those, but there's one of those, you remember the promises? There's some without conditions, some are with. That's one that says, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Honestly, Cameron. So we just need to remember to repent. Have that repentant heart constantly, seeking God in every moment of every day, whatever you're doing, you have God with you. When you're washing the dishes, lady, you can be worshiping God. Whatever you're doing, remember, it is as if unto the Lord. That's why daily. Time with God should be every moment of every day. Not only that precious special time, because when you're taking that precious special time too, you are showing God how much you honor him, how much you love him, how much you are willing to put him as the chief, the number one uno priority in your life. And you are willing to put something aside, and you are willing, as we were learning, to be that living sacrifice. That is what God wants us to do. So people, when we leave today, I want us to just be encouraged and encourage each other. If God puts something on your heart, call that person. Write a note to that person. Lift them up in prayer. We are here to encourage each other, not only in our own lives to spend time with God continuously and alone time, but throughout each and every day and night. And when I go to sleep, you know that children's prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord for my soul to take. And I, when I was going through that kind of anxiety, I used to claim Psalm 4:8 that says, now I lie down in sleep and peace. Or one of the versions says, peaceful sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And say, thank you, God, for this time of rest, this time where you refresh the body that you've given me. I pray that you will heal and minister to me as I am sleeping. And empowering me and strengthening me and refreshing me and giving me life. Today, I'd like to end this where we sing the chorus, Alleluia. And I just want to bring glory and honor to our Lord God. I'll try to sing it lower because, I tend to sing myself. Alleluia. Can you stand, please?
Alleluia.
Every day and night.
remember that God is with you. He gave you the time and praise Him. Constantly think of Him. Constantly have Him first in your life. I want to pray over you before you're dismissed today. Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. I'm praying a prayer, claiming it for each one of us. I pray that out of the glorious riches, He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him, our Lord God Almighty, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be all glory, honor, and praise in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys have an awesome day.